We got an announcement to make here. We got something crazy going down. Check it out. We got free shots of vodka. That's coming through. Courtesy of Skid Row Radio.
Skid Row Studios.
That's right.
Skid Row Studios
in the house. We're recording live tonight. And we are broadcasting as well from King Eddie's. Come get your shot of vodka.
That's too easy.
Here we are at Skid Row Studios. I'm going to get on the mic. I'm going to talk some more. This is Jeremy from Skid Row Studios, and I don't get on the mic too much. I don't get on as often as I wish. To be honest, it's a confidence problem. I'm always scared of the mic. But we're going to give it a try and see what happens. Tonight, I want to talk about internet censorship. Sometimes, every once in a while, you'll hear some kind of bill being trying to be passed here in the United States to gain more control over the internet. And as someone who has worked in the tech industry my entire life, these things always baffle me because to implement the type of control that they're talking about would cost so much money and actually be so difficult to implement that I just don't understand. I feel like it's these old white men in suits who, you know, check their email and you know, for some reason they think, let's draw up this bill. And it also kind of moves on to the topics of free content on the internet and, something that we do here at the studio, we haven't made a dime off of what we're doing here at the studio. Everything we do is free. The people that record here and produce their shows here, it's free. We're not against making money. We certainly would love to at least make enough money to keep the studio going. And I would love to make enough money here to be able to give back to the people who make this place possible, which is all the show hosts and the great ideas that come in here. And we have been extremely fortunate. And I say the same thing to everybody. It's the whole if you build it, they will come scenario. And that's what happened. You know, we put this, myself and Joel, my business partner who lives up north, you know, we put our resources together and I tried to handle some of the tech side and he handled some of the big ticket items that rent and things like that. But everything that we've done here has been out of pocket. And it makes me wonder, you know, along with censorship on the internet, free content, you know, what direction are these things going to go in? Because regardless of what we would love to do, I wish information could remain free and we could just do this for fun and somehow be able to eat and continue to have great shows and great guests. But at some point, you got to wonder, like, if you believe in freedom of speech and freedom of information, how do you make enough money just to keep things going? I don't want to be rich. I have no dreams of luxury cars and huge mansions. I want to make enough money to keep things going and to just be able to do something that I enjoy doing. So how do you do that? Well, at this stage of the game, anybody that tries to charge for content is basically being laughed at. The shows that we produce that, you know, a terrestrial radio station would produce, and you know, I know that we're not radio veterans, and we still got a long way to go before we compare ourselves to some of the great talk radio stations out there. But I know that I know a talk show host gets paid very well. They have a team of people that put together their show and research their show, and they're supported by a huge corporation if you're with a big company, and there's tons of money being tossed around for a medium that is definitely on its way out. I think the availability is the only barrier right now to internet radio. You need to be able to lean over in your car and turn on an internet radio station for it to really be a seamless acceptance by generations of people who are used to spinning the dial for their favorite radio station. Anyway, I'm kind of diverging a bit here, but I have to ask these questions all the time. Like, what can we do? We're producing this great content. What can we do to get more listeners, to remain censorship free, and allow our shows to develop organically? I have seen hosts that on day one they had no idea what was going on, and you know, this is a performance just like anything else. That's why, you know, I'm so nervous to get on the mic, because I realize that there's a talent to doing this and to keep it interesting, and that is a talent in itself. Keep things moving, keep it interesting, keep your listeners listening. And that's a hard thing to do, especially because there are so many options out there these days. It's no longer the problem of 100 channels and nothing on. It's a million channels and nothing on. And from every subject you could possibly think of. So it's tough. How do you shine through? How do you break through? How do you get other people to care about what you're saying, as opposed to these 10,000 other people that are saying the same thing but in a slightly different way? I don't know. I think what we did here is unique. We built a radio studio. We produce these shows like radio shows. We're doing the best we can. Again, you know, it's rough around the edges because none of us have any experience in the radio industry. So we're reinventing the wheel in a lot of different places here, because we're learning on our own. This is self-taught radio here. Anyway, the thing that what I started to talk about is the Congress comes up with these bills once in a while. We're going to censor the internet. I think from a technical perspective, what would you have to do in this country to truly have total control over the internet? And I've worked for many internet providers. I've worked for tons of internet companies. I mean, I know how these things work, and to put the right tools in place, just to have that level of control, it just seems like an impossible task, and it always makes me laugh when I hear these bills going through Congress, and it's like, what are you going to do if you pass this bill? How are you going to actually stop people from bypassing whatever measures you have? And the you know, the vigilante hacker community would have your ass in a sling in a second. I mean, if you think anything that they've done up to this point is astounding or somewhat it's nothing. It's nothing. I have a feeling that the people that are in the right places that actually do know what they're doing, I'm not talking about what we refer to in the community as script kiddies, you know, where they kind of find some pre-made script that does something and they just kind of run this program and, you know, lots of fun. Oh, I made this website go down or whatever. I'm talking about people that actually do know what they're doing, that are in control of making the internet work. And I can't see how some of these people would just lay down and kind of allow something like this to happen. Or people will always find a way. They'll use some kind of way to get through whatever protections were put in place. I mean, as a young kid, your liquor cabinet, you know, you're going to find a way to get in that liquor cabinet. Either somebody's going to slip up and forget to put the lock on, or you're going to find a way to pick the lock and find a way to sip that bourbon without anybody finding out. And it's the same way with any kind of censorship. And even censorship laws that exist today, there is always ways around it. So I have this strong belief that we should just stop trying to control information. Information is always going to get into the hands of those that seek it. It's our nature. We have a desire to understand something on a deeper level, and this is kind of goes along with the hacker culture, I guess you could say, is, you know, if you talked to gung-ho hacker guys, they would say that it's an exploration of knowledge. They get into a system and they try to understand it, and you know, some of the I guess you would call white hat hackers out there, you know, will let a system administrator know of their vulnerabilities before they take down a system or whatever. You know, it's more, you know, I got that root, I got that that login, and it works. Other people just want to destroy systems and whatever. You know, it goes across the board. But what are you gonna do to control the internet? What are you gonna do to control information? We've been fortunate enough recently to get a contract with Sirius Radio, Sirius XM Radio. That place has like 17 different names, so I don't know what they want to be called this week, and probably violating some kind of contract by just talking about this. But initially, you know, we thought here's an opportunity. We worked with them previously. We had a few shows that we broadcasted live out of our studio via Skype connection back to their studio. We went to their studio, had a great time. You know, their studio's really nice. I would say that technically we're actually on par with their studio, and maybe more advanced in some ways, but the studio itself was very nice. As I told some of the people over there at Sirius, that I was very jealous of their lighting in their studio. When you come into our studio, it looks like you're being interrogated for like child rape or something. It's just bad. We need better lights. But through this deal, you know, me and Joel said, fuck it, you know, let's try to see if we can make some money off of this. I mean, it felt like an upgrade in the relationship. Maybe this is the time that we try to get them to cough up a little dough, because now we're handing over content. Well, we hired a lawyer, and guy wrote up this great contract that, you know, we were like, this is a great deal for them. They're essentially getting 15 show hosts when you combine all the shows they want together, because some of our hosts or shows have six hosts. They're getting all these hosts. They're getting you know, 16 hours of content a month. Great deal for them. You know, give us a little something. Well, it didn't take long. I mean, the email was like, we don't pay for content. Let us know when you want to sign the original contract that we sent you, or, you know, eat shit, pretty much. Your choice. Well, you know, hey, we're trying to do something here. We were able to at least verify that we still own our content, and, you know, that's good, because at least we have ownership over our content, technically. It's going to help us to get more listeners by being able to talk about Skid Row Studios and advertise our shows on the shows that are being rebroadcasted on Sirius Radio. So, you know, at no point were we like, fuck you, you know, we're not going to do it, because we have no leverage and we know that. But we thought, hey, here's a chance. Well, can Sirius really get away with that forever? I mean, can you get away with not paying for content? I don't know. They're certainly able to get away with it at this point in time, but I don't know if that's going to last forever. And then Sirius is a great match for us, because we don't censor, and they don't expect us to. The people pay a subscription to Sirius Radio. It's just like paying a subscription to HBO for cable, or special channels on cable, and that gives them the ability to control their content and present adult material and mature audiences only type material. And so that works out well for us. What happens when terrestrial radio kind of fizzles away and internet radio is the most prominent way to disseminate information on a audio or video level? What happens when terrestrial goes away and the FCC no longer really has a purpose, at least for the radio band? I mean, the FCC can't regulate something that nobody gives a shit about anymore. So are they gonna try to shift? Is there going to be an FCC of the internet? I don't see how that's possible, but I can definitely see them trying. When you control somebody, when you control something, you simultaneously create an entire market for that thing that you're trying to control. And that's anything we control. We outlaw certain drugs. Well, that creates a market for not only black market, you know, shady drug dealers, but it also creates a market for the big pharmaceutical companies, because they get the stamp of approval from society as to what is socially acceptable to consume as a drug. So make sure all these bad drugs, you know, that are unregulated and somewhat uncontrollable because of their existence on the black market, keep those outlawed. And here's our alternative to some of those drugs. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, crack isn't going to cure your cold. But, you know, there are some illegal substances, and I think marijuana falls into this category, where they do have some medicinal value. I'm never going to be one of those guys that says marijuana cures cancer. I think that's ridiculous and irresponsible. But if you're a cancer patient and you're getting chemotherapy every day, and you feel like you can't even eat because your insides are being radiated, and you smoke a joint and that lets you get some food down, what is wrong with that? That seems strange to prohibit such a thing. But anyway, it creates a market. Any control creates a market. FCC is not going to like it when they no longer... when there's no longer enough people who give a shit about terrestrial radio to make their jobs worthy. So it's a strange thing, and I really wonder what's going to happen in terms of, you know, and I don't think this is in the too distant future. I'm talking next 5-10 years, terrestrial radio is going to be dead. I mean, it's just going to, it just doesn't make sense anymore. The amount of information that you can harvest from your internet listener as opposed to your, you know, sitting in the middle of nowhere receiver of an RF signal, you know, there's no comparison. And I say this all the time, that we as in the internet radio community is just waiting for the rest of the world to catch up. And I think that's when we're going to have plenty of business opportunities and plenty of opportunities to license content and do all the things that radio is doing now. We're just not going to have a bulky transmitter to worry about. That's been my goal for Skid Row Studios since day one, is I want to have that ergonomic environment of a radio studio. That's why we use real broadcast consoles and real broadcast mics and real broadcast processors and phone hybrids. And everything here is a radio station without a bulky transmitter. And the audience potential with internet radio is huge. Anyone in the world, in the country, can listen to your internet radio station. You will never get that with terrestrial radio, and it costs Clear Channel Communications so much money to own all these stations all across the country that generally do and play the same type of thing, but they have to duplicate it everywhere so they can gather that massive listener base. I mean, the reality is that you could have one internet radio station that feeds all of those places, and you wouldn't have to own all the physical property. Now, you know, this is obviously not a popular thing to say within the radio community, because that means a lot of people's jobs are going to get axed. And I think that's happening right now. And from some of the articles I've been following, you know, there's been some massive layoffs. Anyway, internet radio and freedom of speech, censorship, censoring the internet in general, I'm really curious as to how that would even happen. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about how China does it. China, if you know anything about China, they have what people call the Great Firewall, which is a kind of a funny play on the Great Wall and what a firewall is. A firewall, in computer terms, is something that filters certain types of information. So this computer isn't able to talk to this computer or this type of website, based on its content or how it's rated, isn't able to get through. It's a way of controlling information, and you know, the way they make it sound is there's this, you know, one computer that is the gateway for all the internet in China, and they're running some kind of firewall on it. I'm sure it's far more complex than that, but it's interesting. I'll take this break and come back.
Listen to Skid Row Studios anytime, anywhere with the Skid Row iPhone app for your smartphone.
Skid Row Studios.
Real internet radio.
sad news. Nora Ephron died this week. It was the first thing she's done in a while that wasn't funny. And Katie Holmes is finally finishing her 5-year search for a good divorce lawyer.
She and I can finally go out in public.
It was like he studied for the part of you're a heterosexual in love, and then went out and completely played it wrong. That's interesting, because I was going to say that marriage was less believable than Katie Holmes and Batman. But that's the weekly wrap-up every Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific time at SkidRowStudios.com.
Tune into The Love Bite, where all your kinky desires come true, Sundays, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time at SkidRowStudios.com.
All right, so we were talking about kind of overall, like, what censorship means and how it applies to what we do here at the studio, and then just my general confusion of how to implement such a thing. I just don't see how it could work in this country. People are going to find ways around it. But China seems to have pulled this off, and I was reading an article recently that they've kind of tightened the reins a little bit, and even more so now, people are unable to get through. People were using what's called VPN or proxies to get to information that China's blocking. If they were, you know, American businessmen in China were using these things to get through, and apparently they're starting to crack down on VPN connections, and I just can't imagine the huge amount of resources that they have to dedicate to this issue. It just seems like such a huge waste of time, and apparently the local media is saying things like, people say mean things on the internet, and people will call you bad words on the internet, and we as a, you know, the state must control this to keep people from having their feelings hurt on the internet. And it's weird how, I guess, communist countries just blast that type of propaganda. And I don't think, do they believe that? Are people sitting at home in China watching the news, and when the media in China, the state-controlled media, is telling them, you know, that they have to be careful because, you know, somebody might tell you to go fuck yourself on the internet, are they startled? Or, oh, you know, geez, that's a terrible thing. Like, yeah, please control all the information that I get to see. I see things like IMDb is blocked from China. And those are things that I guess I'm never going to understand, because I don't live in a communist state. And you know, I'm not like fucking rah-rah America or anything, but imagine what that's like. Imagine you go to a country and you are on your home computer in your home and you're unable to look at porn and beat off. Like, you cannot beat off to porn in your own home in your country. That's not a country I want to live in. I would probably go visit China and have fun there, drinking what's it called? Baijiu? It's something they drink in China that if you let sit in your refrigerator long enough, will turn into nail polish. Anyway, so now, how does China pull this off? I really don't know. And again, this is something that you know, I would say in this country is next to impossible, just because of the existing infrastructure, and our businesses are independently owned, and you know, it would be so strange for this country to say, we've decided that as a government, there's things that we no longer want you to be able to look at on the internet. If that happens, that's a scary day. And I think you know, the government's going to suffer the wrath of a huge amount of protest and backlash on such a decision. But it seems like the only time these things make it to Congress is when some guy is just trying to make a name for himself, and he's kind of playing to his base. And so they throw these things out there because it's a bunch of old white men that don't really understand how things work. But I guess, you know, it looks good when they're on the golf course, you know, drinking martinis or whatever it is that rich white men do. China, it's state-controlled. They already have an infrastructure for control in their country. The country is built on having those things in place to begin with. So it makes a lot more sense there. Like, there's already the tools in place. It can't be cheap. I personally don't know what the internet's like in China. I do have a good friend in China right now, and never really stopped to ask her, you know, how fast is the internet there. I have to imagine that this censorship that is required in that country has to add a huge amount of latency to just overall performance and things like that. There's a whole lot of technical reasons. I can see people implementing firewalls that can't handle the amount of bandwidth that is going through them, and it just probably makes things suck pretty badly. But, you know, until recently, people that knew what they were doing could get around some of these controls by using what's called a proxy. A proxy is kind of like using another computer as the middleman. So if I'm in China and I have a proxy server, another computer here in the United States that is able to access the sites that I want. Basically, I set up a proxy through that computer, so my computer in China goes through the computer in the U.S. and then goes to the site I want to go to, Facebook.com or whatever it is that they think is required to be blocked. And apparently, they're cracking down on this now. And you know, there's ways to do that. You know, you find out what type of connections people are. Doing to these proxy servers, and you just start blocking shit. I'd love to see. I imagine this huge war room in China somewhere, and it's like some kind of, you know, NORAD display, and they can zoom in on any one of the 10 billion people that live in China. I have no idea what that population is, but I know it's a lot. And this, you know, this guy over here saw some tits on the internet. Zoom in on that and fucking vaporize that guy. You know, I don't know. It's just weird, you know, to think about the resources necessary to enforce something like that. And what does it do? I mean, does it stop? I don't know. What does it control? All it does is it frustrates. People who may be using those things for legitimate reasons. Like, that's the problem with censorship too, is that it is such a blanket statement. It is, if we deem this to be you know, inappropriate, we have to apply these same rules to everybody. It's this Doug Stanhope bit that it reminds me of, where, you know, he says that drunk driving tests should be individual. Not everyone is going to slam into a wall after two beers. But, you know, technically, according to the breathalyzer, you know, you're over your limit, so you're fucked. Yet a, you know, 19-year-old,